Hi everyone, I'm Debbie Roberts, owner and financial advisor at Property Apprentice. Join us today for the Week in Review, where I talk about current events for the everyday investor and home buyer. Our topics for this week, topic number one from interest.co.nz on the 2nd of April, the housing market is heading into winter with a shed load of unsold properties looking for buyers. Topic number two, good returns on the 2nd of April, clawbacks could sneak onto the ComCom agenda. Third topic from interest.co.nz on the 3rd of April, zoning, housing regulations and Kāinga Ora are all in the spotlight in the Coalition Government's three-month plan. Topic number four from RNZ on the 4th of April, more houses for sale, high interest rates keep price gains low. Topic number five from the New Zealand Herald on the 3rd of April, KiwiSaver contributions, big gap between men and women. So topic number one for this week in review from interest.co.nz on the 2nd of April, the housing market is heading into winter with a shed load of unsold properties looking for buyers. The housing market concluded the peak summer selling season with a decline in both new listings and average asking prices in March, along with a significant surplus of unsold properties as the market transitions into the normally quiet winter months, according to recent data from realestate.co.nz. Despite March typically being the busiest month, with a 23.9% increase in new listings compared to the same period last year, there was a slight dip, down 333 from February, possibly influenced by the timing of the Easter break. The national average asking price also saw a decrease of nearly $20,000 from February to March. The notable concern lies in the abundant unsold inventory, with realestate.co.nz reporting a total of 33,425 properties for sale by the end of March, which is the highest level since May 2015. This surplus, coupled with declining new listings and rising stock levels, suggests a shift towards a buyer's market as winter approaches, allowing buyers more options and more bargaining power in negotiations. So great time to get out there and negotiate on the purchase of your new home or investment property. Second topic from Good Returns on the 2nd of April, clawbacks could sneak onto the ComCom agenda. Financial Advice NZ is coordinating a discussion with the Commerce Commission prompted by concerns voiced by mortgage advisors following the Commission's recent banking competition report. Jeff Royal, a mortgage advisor involved in the discussion, highlights the pressing need to address the issue of clawbacks, where borrowers may incur additional costs for early loan repayments, often without proper disclosure. Royal underscores the success of lenders like ResiMac and BNZ, which have integrated clear warnings about potential liabilities into their loan documents. He stresses the importance of standardising these disclosure practices across all lenders to ensure transparency and protect borrowers' interests. The meeting seeks to delve into these matters at a strategic level and explore solutions to improve disclosure standards within the industry. The Commerce Commission's draft report, which suggested potential undue influence of commissions on mortgage advisors, which they had incorrectly referred to as mortgage brokers, had previously sparked controversy among advisors, prompting further scrutiny of industry practices. So, in my opinion, with this talk about the clawbacks, I think it is a valid point that banks don't necessarily inform the borrowers that if they're paying off a mortgage, that there could be a clawback fee involved. So in my opinion, I think it's always best for the bank to refer back to the mortgage advisor that was involved. They've got a record of who you had your mortgage loan application processed through. So, you know, at least if you're discussing with your bank, you know, if you did do your loan with a mortgage advisor, talk to your mortgage advisor before you pay off any mortgages, just so that you can know upfront whether there are going to be any incurred costs. Okay. And the mortgage advisor will be happy to let you know. Oftentimes there won't be a fee for early repayment, but sometimes there will be. So best to know upfront. If you want to learn more about investing in property, join me at one of our free events called How to Succeed with Property Investing. I'll discuss strategies for successful investing from my perspective as an experienced investor and a financial advisor. And these events are available live online or in person. Check out propertyapprentice.co.nz for upcoming dates and register today. We don't sell property, so it's all about increasing your knowledge to reduce your risk. If you've already been to one of our free events and you'd like to find out more about how we can help you to reach your financial goals, you can also book a no-obligation phone call or meeting with my husband, Paul Roberts, via the website. That's propertyapprentice.co.nz. Third topic for this week in review from interest.co.nz on the 3rd of April. Zoning, housing regulations and kaianga ora are all in the spotlight in the Coalition Government's three-month plan. The Coalition Government plans significant housing policy reforms by June. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon initiates quarterly action plans to ensure progress across portfolios. Four of the 36-point plan items address zoning rules, public housing, rental regulations and construction materials. Regarding zoning, medium density residential standards, or MDRS, became optional for councils following pressure from the ACT Party. Housing Minister Chris Bishop aims to make zoning rules optional by early 2024, part of a three-year plan to spur housing growth. However, challenges persist as housing costs continue to rise, despite councils nominally zoning land for development. Public housing reform includes responding to an independent review of kaianga ora, focusing on financial viability and potentially involving private providers. Concerns arise over a $520 million deficit impacting the Crown's balance, hindering progress towards a surplus. Community housing providers face setbacks due to uncertainties in funding rent subsidies. Rental regulations may be relaxed under a coalition plan, potentially favouring landlords by restoring no-cause evictions and allowing larger pet owner bonds. However, critics question whom these changes truly benefit, raising concerns about tenants' rights. The government also plans to relax restrictions on building materials, aiming to cut costs and streamline approvals. Proposed measures include aligning approval processes with American, European, British, and Australian standards. This initiative follows recommendations from a 2022 Commerce Commission report on the building sector. The ACT Party and the Ministry of Regulation, led by David Seymour, are involved in these reforms, advocating for easier access to competitive products. My opinion on the changes, the proposed changes to the Tenancy Act, is that tenants don't really need to worry about the reinstatement of the 90-day no-cause end of tenancies, because historically it was a very small percentage of tenancies that were actually ended by that, less than 3% from my memory. So, you know, that's quite significant. And the reason that it's helpful for landlords is to get rid of those problematic tenants. So if you're paying your rent on time and you're looking after the property and you're not threatening the neighbours or causing disruption to the neighbourhood, then the chance of you being issued with a 90-day notice is very, very small. Okay. It is designed to protect the good tenants and the good neighbours from problem people. If you're a problematic tenant, you've probably got a good reason to be worried about the reinstatement of that, because no more free ride. All right, topic number four from RNZ on the 4th of April, more houses for sale, high interest rates, keep price gains low. High interest rates and increased housing inventory are tempering price growth, as reflected in CoreLogic's House Price Index, which rose by a modest 0.5% in March, similar to earlier months. Overall, first quarter values increased by 1.1%. CoreLogic's Calvin Davidson notes this trend as expected, describing the housing market as balanced. Rising listings in the first quarter have eased price pressures, shifting the market towards favouring credit-approved buyers. The average property value climbed 3.2% to $934,806 in March, but remains over 10% lower than the recent peak at the end of November in 2021. High mortgage rates continue to pose challenges, outweighing benefits from new tax deductions for property investors. Price growth varied across main centres, with Wellington experiencing strong growth, 0.9%, while Christchurch, Dunedin and Auckland also saw gains ranging from 0.4% to 0.6%. Tauranga and Hamilton witnessed slight declines of 0.2%. Although expectations for the first official cash rate cut in the next cycle are growing, it's not imminent. The Reserve Bank's current projections suggest the cash rate may not decrease until next year, indicating minimal short-term drops in fixed mortgage rates for at least another 6 to 9 months. My thoughts are, just in case you haven't heard my thoughts on what the Reserve Bank's going to do, I think they're going to keep the language quite strong and threatening to scare people into thinking that it's going to be a longer way away from what it actually is. My personal opinion is that I certainly am not expecting an OCR drop next week, because we have the inflation data that comes out a whole week after that announcement. So unlikely that anything's going to change in next week's announcement. But depending on how all the data looks coming in over the next couple of months, we could have an OCR reduction, in my opinion, as early as May, probably June. Okay. But we'll see what happens when all the data comes in. Topic number 5, last topic for this week in review, from the New Zealand Herald on the 3rd of April. KiwiSaver contributions, big gap between men and women. New research from Te Ara Ahunga Ora, the Retirement Commission, has highlighted significant discrepancies in KiwiSaver contributions between men and women. The report reveals a 36% gap in annual contributions, surpassing the gender pay gap. Dr. Michelle Reyes, Te Ara Ahunga Ora policy lead, attributes this gap to factors like women's part-time work and greater caregiving responsibilities. Moreover, the research exposes ethnic pay gaps, particularly affecting Māori and Pacifica peoples, who receive lower KiwiSaver contributions annually. Despite this, Māori exhibit the second highest average employee contribution rate, despite their lower average income. These findings underscore the substantial impact of gender and ethnic pay gaps on retirement preparedness. Retirement Commissioner Jane Wrightson urges employers to review their KiwiSaver policies, emphasising the need for more proactive initiatives. While some employees already contribute above the 3% minimum, few employers exceed this compulsory contribution, with many including KiwiSaver contributions in total earnings, potentially disincentivising employees. Reyes applauds Australia's efforts to address the retirement savings gap for women and suggests similar measures in New Zealand, such as paying superannuation on paid parental leave to support women's financial security. Continuous learning enables investors to adapt to changing market conditions, stay ahead of the competition and build a sustainable and profitable property portfolio over the long term. If you want to learn more, join me at one of our events called How to Succeed with Property Investing. During these two-hour workshops, we cover the most recent property market data. And what's more, as an experienced property investor and a financial advisor, I'll be sharing valuable insights and expert tips to help you on your journey. Our free events cater to all levels of property investors and first-time buyers. And I'll also tell you more about how we help our clients to achieve their financial goals. So if you're interested in finding out more about what we do, visit propertyapprentice.co.nz today to secure your spot and register for our free events. Alternatively, book a no-obligation phone call or meeting with my husband, Paul Roberts, through our website, propertyapprentice.co.nz. And for clients of ours, if you weren't aware of the fact that I'm a KiwiSaver advisor as well as an investment, well, part of me being an investment advisor and a mortgage advisor, but part of my role now is that I can help you work out whether you're in a good KiwiSaver fund, because it's also important to make sure that you're in an appropriate KiwiSaver fund. That's just as important as making sure that you are contributing and that you're contributing an appropriate amount. So if you'd like me to review your KiwiSaver fund, just reach out and you know how to get hold of me as a client. So just reach out and we can help you with that. Thanks for listening.